NRL Market Watch is proudly brought to you by topsport.com.au. Topsport is the home of the widest and most competitive range of NRL markets, including the new Same Game Multi. Gamble responsibly.
Welcome to the Round 21 podcast. It is NRL Market Watch. My name's Jimmy Smith. The usual suspects in attendance. Jared Condon from Reading the Play. Tristan Merlihan from Top Sport. By the way, if you want to listen to this on a regular basis, then we encourage you to do so. Make sure you subscribe via Apple and Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcast. How are you, gentlemen? We had a paused round last week. Quite incredibly, they said, look, we'll have a rest day. And then we're going to get stuck into it again. No doubt about Peter Vellantis and what he can get done. But round 21, we've got fingers crossed and we're just hoping it can proceed.
Yeah, it was obviously an interesting weekend and great work in getting all the games played. And it was good to have Monday Night Footy back, mind you, as well. It was always one of my favourite nights of the week when it was back going. So that was good. Obviously, the Monday night game with the Sharkies and the Seagulls was actually a decent affair. Late and Manly flex their muscles again, which we'll touch on later when they play the Storm. Looking forward to the week ahead. I hope, Jimmy, you're going to be able to talk with us throughout the week. I've heard that they're actually asking you to go over to Bangladesh because the leaves you've been playing with these lunch bets, you'd be well suited over in the top order in Australia at the moment where we've been battling. So hopefully we can keep you in Sydney.
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good morning, whatever day we are in lockdown. But here we are. And yes, it was a very clever strategic move by the NRL and Mr. Vellantis to have an ex-Queensland government minister come on board as a director late last year. And I'm sure there were a number of telephone calls in play last Saturday, but thankfully we got the round away and it's finished and on we go. And I did notice on the run sheet here, Jimmy, we're still waiting for the final outcome of what the producer thought with the Raiders minus 3.5 of Pierce out, but I'm sure we'll get an update on that in the next couple of days.
Tell you what, you won't have to wait a couple of days. I'll give it to you right now, okay? Not on. I mentioned that I would contact you prior to the match. I told you that Pierce was in and made a difference. I was reserving judgment. I'm keeping the powder dry, whichever metaphor you want to use. That's what I was doing. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is where the case rests.
It's funny how your powder was dry and you're uncontactable until the Knights lead 8-0.
Right, that's the streaming that we're doing in this house. Everything's on a bit of a delay here, so we just have to take that into consideration.
Well, the really good news, Jimmy, is that we've had 20 winning collects in 22 weeks. The really bad news is we had a miss last week. Those hapless Dragons ended up leaking late, and the under 55.5 ended up with a 64-point scoreline, which annoyed me no end. And I went with Kenny Mamalo for the Tigers into Tommy Tobojevic as anytime try scorers. Well, Tommy got three and was scoring for fun, while all of a sudden Kevin Keychem ended up in the centres for the West Tigers, and he's obviously very adverse to passing to his left, and we were no chance there. So we ended up with a couple of misses, but we'll go again this week.
No doubt about that. Tommy, you could have gone Tommy into Tommy into Tommy.
Yes,
that would have been interesting. I'm interested to know what your holds were like on the Monday night for the games there, Tristan, because they were always great hold games, weren't they, for bookies in years gone by?
Yeah, definitely. And I suppose it's a little bit different with the Olympics. Obviously, there's plenty of other activity on this Monday. But the first game was decent, but the Manly Sharks game was a very good hold. The 8 o'clock, obviously, there's a lot of interest in Manly at the moment, and you get those high scoring games where there's a lot of interest in the to score a tries and everyone wants to put turbo options into everything. So yeah, it was a very good hold, and it was always one of our better holding games of the weekend, just purely because there wasn't a lot else on. So yeah, we were very happy to see it back. It sometimes gets, especially those 3 o'clock Saturday games, do get lost in the wash a little bit with the racing. So it was Sunday was an incredibly busy day as well. So it's been plenty happening in Top Sport HQ with the Olympics as well. But it's an exciting time. There's plenty of sport to be engaged with, which is awesome.
A couple of things we want to talk today before we get into the game previews. We'll get a Warren Ryan story. I want to talk about the MCG and the grand final. But first of all, I know it's not, you know, and in the end it ended up a bit closer, that Manly versus Sharks game. But isn't it interesting, the power of the superstar, because he is just compelling to watch. Tom Trbojevic, I called the earlier game and was sitting there with Brett Camorley in the studio, and so off air watching the Manly Sharks game, and I couldn't leave till half time because I just thought, this guy is just so compelling to watch. And when he gets taken off with the last 15 minutes, what do you know, the Sharks score a couple of tries and it brings him back to the field. I can only imagine what Dez is thinking during the course of a week. You know, they'll be mucking around at training. I'd imagine whenever they do wrestle at training, they say, right, Tom, you just leave this. Stay away from that, mate. You go and have a lie down and we'll give you a massage or something.
Yeah, well, on that note, sorry, I'll let you jump in a sec, Jared, but I was in the first half of the game as well, and we were high scoring options, and at halftime he'd yet to register, which was surprising, and my little daughter woke up and started complaining, so I went upstairs for 10 minutes and came back down, and there were three tries. By the time I got back down, I was like, oh, Tommy's probably scored one. I didn't expect him to go over for all three, but it was an interesting one. Yeah, there would have been a lot of punters a bit disappointed with Dez's move late. I can absolutely understand why, but the Sharkies actually got the backdoor cover, even though they had a player in the sin bin on the back of Turbo being rested late. So, yeah, he's so vital, their charge. You know, they come back to the field very quickly when he's not on the park, and obviously just adds links to them. So I'm looking forward to this weekend. I'll let Jared touch on that more.
Well, I think when they eventually build that statue of Tommy at Brookvale, they might also build one next to him for Harry from the Corso, because as funny as I know that story is, clearly that event, you know, probably shook Tommy up a little bit. And, you know, the stories out of Brookvale over recent months of his absolute focus and dedication and just, you know, really wanting to repay the club and really knuckle down this season have been very strong. And, yeah, his impact on their run at the moment is staggering. And what I love about what he does at the moment is the tough stuff. You know, he doesn't just glide in and make the easy plays, but, you know, he's prepared to take that one off the ruck and just really hit some hard yards where it's needed or go looking for an opportunity. And the other beauty of him is that he can play left, right or middle and absolutely tear things apart left, right or middle. Lastly, I think there's a couple of blokes, especially on that right edge, who should be thanking him, because I think he's adding extra money to their next deals, because he just is putting them in for tries, Harper and Saab, and making them look outstanding finishes just on the back of his pure ability.
Yeah, and the other thing about him is too, it's you know, how much of an impact he has, whether it's on the scoreboard or the betting market or whichever way you want to describe it, to get some sort of measure on that. And you know, and you can look through history at the players who've had that sort of impact. And I'm talking about Andrew Johns and, Jonathan Thurston. But it's doing it in a game of rugby league, which doesn't lend itself to that. It's not basketball, where, you know, that one individual can have such a huge impact. But Tommy T is having that impact, and that's what I think is most incredible. Jared, you want to give a yarn about Warren Ryan?
Well, I just thought it was very apt that we're in the week of Olympics and track and field, and link a little story that goes back to Warren Ryan. Most people probably wouldn't know, and I think, Jimmy, you were probably running around at this time. Warren Ryan was the great coach of Canterbury, but going back in his career, in 1962, he actually represented Australia in the Commonwealth Games as a shot put athlete. Now, where that links into his time then as a coach years later was he reinvented what the great Canterbury team that he was coaching and were well known for their bruising and physical and muscle play through the middle under the old 5 yards or 5 metre defensive line that we had at the time. He actually taught them to convert their body weight to the side of impact. So if they were a right shoulder defender or about to hit with the right shoulder, to actually move their body weight to the right shoulder and right leg, but actually lead with that side and leg as you would if you were a shot put thrower. And it actually moved the body weight to create far more impact and far more physical bang. And hence, when you had guys like Peter Ryan and David Gillespie and Peter Tunks and some of those guys, I mean, when you were hit, you actually stayed hit and had a big impact on the game at the time. And, you know, they ended up having to change the rules to 10 metres many years later.
Yeah, I did know that about Warren Ryan with his shot putting, which is quite incredible when you think about it, isn't it? He also had a pretty successful rugby league career as a winger too. So, which is interesting. But yeah, one of the great minds. I haven't had the opportunity to sit down with him and speak with him, but those who do say he is one of the great minds. And even to hear that, you know, Andrew Johns turned up with Mitch Moses with a pocket full of coins in the preseason just to talk about, you know, shifting defenders and moving air. And of course, you have to go down to the beaches in the south of Sydney to see Warren. But yeah, great yarn. MCG is an option now. I tell you what, there's going to be some jockeying for this. You would have thought that it was over the line at Brisbane for the NRL Grand Final. I can't see Sydney being opened up to the extent that would be satisfactory for the NRL. Certainly, they'll be able to get a bigger check. Maybe this is where the payback comes for suspending the competition for 24 hours. But hey, let us play on, especially noting that Suncorp and Cbus Stadium just now have been confirmed as the new venues for the round 21 clashes. But it's incredible what Matt Tripp and the Melbourne Storm have put forward. Well, Matt Tripp, personally, part owner of the Melbourne Storm, hugely successful. And Tristan, you would know this better than I, in the gambling space, has taken a break at the moment, but focusing all of his attention on the Melbourne Storm. If they can just write a check and get it, then I've got no doubt that he can convert that into a huge event for the Melbourne Storm. The merchandise that he could sell, the memberships that he could sell, the ticketing, the corporates. His biggest concern is if the Melbourne Storm were to miss out, which, based on what we've seen over this part of the competition, I don't think that's going to be the case. It's a really interesting yarn how this plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I've obviously had a lot of dealings with Matt over the period, and it seems like whatever he touches turns to gold. The one thing that I'll always say about Matt is his timing is impeccable in everything he does, and if he thinks that this is the right play, then I think there's, you know, a lot of worth in listening to it. And I think the odds of Melbourne missing that grand final are pretty long. I think they look very very secure in what they're trying to achieve at the moment. So yeah, it's certainly an option. I'm just sitting here right now in Queensland, and the number of cases unfortunately have increased again in Queensland, which is you know, obviously we're not at the point of New South Wales just yet, but we're in lockdown until the end of the weekend, and there's potential of that can drag on. So yeah, we certainly do need to have some other plans in place, and we need to have an open mind about the best way to showcase our big event when the time comes.
Yeah, it's very clever, very strategic. I'm sure there's a lot of things happening in play at the back. I mean, it'd be amazing if they were to host it, but at the same time, I'm sure that this helps force the hand with either New South Wales or Queensland, and the game financially should be the winner out of this, whatever the negotiations occur over coming months. And that can only be good given the outlay that they've had to force with relocating and everything that's going on with the game based out of southeast Queensland at the moment. So very interesting to watch this space over the coming weeks.
I see Deputy Premier of New South Wales, John Barilaro, has responded already and said, hey, we're not going to let that get away. So yeah, it'd be very interesting to see how that plays out. All right, gents, let's get into it. Round 21 of the National Rugby League. We're starting on a Thursday night. It's the Knights up against the Broncos. This is at Suncorp. Mitch Pearce has been named in the 7 jersey on this occasion. Phoenix Crossland drops out. Chris Randall's in for Jaden Brayley, which I thought was interesting. Connor Watson and Suatho Sue, they might do the little swap that they have done previously. Katani Staggs is out. That's significant for the Broncos. Jesse Arthurs comes into that centre position. Danny Levi in for an injured Jake Turpin. TC Rabadi retains his spot on the bench. Dare I say it, Tristan, they were pretty impressive last week, the Newcastle Knights, with all the gang back. What's the market saying here?
Yeah, this one has the Knights very short price favourites. They are $1.29 and the Broncos are $3.70 playing away at Suncorp, the Bronx. So it's 11.5 the line, 10.5 out to 11.5, 50.5 total points. Now, the Bronx actually played all right against, obviously, a Cowboys side, which are very much hot and cold. But the Knights had to get a resounding victory against the Raiders with their players back, and they did. So this is a very important game for them to keep their march going towards the finals. But at the moment, it's one-way traffic betting on the Knights.
Well, you're right. The Broncos were positive last week, came up with 37 points. I really like the fact that they tried to play some football and ended up doing so, but they did so against a really weak opponent in the Cowboys. I actually thought the Cowboys could win that last week. They're just horrible on the road and laid down. Broncos get some advantage here getting the game back at Suncorp, originally scheduled up the coast, now moves back here. My worry against them, though, is that they've got eight forwards in total out, which now includes from last week Stags and Turpin. If they go back to that formula last week of trying to play some football, then I think they'd trouble the Knights. They do also get some advantage. The Knights are off that four-day turnaround into a Thursday night. They do get Pearce and Fitzgibbon back, which are key ins. Best was very good last week, and linking with Ponga in the back. They'll miss Brayley. I thought the line was probably a touch too high at 11.5. If it was under 10, I'd probably look to play, but I do think the Knights win and probably win by somewhere around a 10-point margin.
Yeah, I like the Knights in this one. I think that that's a bit of a misread for the Broncos. I think Stags is a significant out for them. I thought Turpin's been playing some good footy as well. Pearce comes back and obviously adds to the Knights, although I thought Phoenix Crossland played well last week. It's amazing, isn't it, with Kalyn Ponga. If you say, right, Kalyn, you love playing to the left-hand side. You love skimming to the outside of defenders. What actually would be perfect for your game? Oh, I know. A hard-running centre that's courageous enough and powerful enough to run against the grain and score tries for you. Well, come on down, Bradman Best. You know, he's just the perfect foil for what Kalyn Ponga is doing there. So, you know, that timing of him coming back is really good for the Knights. Yeah, I see them winning it pretty comfortably. I'd be happy to take the minus on the Knights on that one. Friday night, we've got a doubleheader at Cbus. Raiders and the Dragons is the first game. Matt Tomoko is into the starting side. Seb Chris looks like he's going to be out with that HIA. Ryan Sutton is back into the side. Hudson Young moves to the edge. Corey Hadawita Naira back to the bench. I see a Soliola misses out. Elijah Anderson comes in for his first game in the National Rugby League. He's from Mount Morgan, where the great Darren Fritz played from previously. So great to see him there. First year at the Raiders, so we wish him all the best with that. For the Dragons, wow. Ben Hunt out with that broken arm. Adam Clune comes into his position. Jack Bird's been named at fullback, so no Tyrell Sloan. Jack DeBellin, Blake Laurie, Zach Lomax, Josh Maguire, Cody Ramsey all come back into the side. Corey Norman moves to six. Jaden Sullivan drops out. The Barbecuers, who were out last week of that, Josh Kerr and Gerard Beale. Again, it's a much stronger Dragon side, but what's the market saying, Tristan?
Yeah, much stronger Dragon side, but such a big loss in Ben Hunt. He's been so instrumental for them all year. He's been by far and away their best player. So you take him out of the side, and unfortunately a lot of the benefit of these players returning disappears. It's $1.39 Canberra, $3.70 the Dragons. The line's 10.5. It's been 11.5. It's been 10.5 out to 11.5, and total points 50.5 now. I'm not convinced in the Raiders' form, as we touched on last week, and I think the Knights probably demonstrated that, but the Dragons have just been woeful. Can they lift with all these players back on deck without Ben Hunt? I don't think so. I think this game, whoever loses this probably kisses their finals hopes goodbye if the Dragons aren't already gone, but Canberra need to get back in on their winning ways if they wish to keep in touch with the top eight.
We've got ninth, play 10th. Both of them chasing that one of those lower spots, seventh or eighth in the top eight. I think the market's really wrong here. I just can't get that bigger gap between the two of them. I think the game's got absolute whiskers on it. I don't want to touch it because they're two incredibly unreliable sides who are also very prone to bad weeks and leaking lots of points. But Hunt, certainly a key out, but they get eight others that are key ins, and this is the strongest lineup that they've rolled out for many weeks. They come off three losses. They will be very hungry to turn that around and get a win. And they get a Canberra side that are just so hard to catch. Last week they leaked 34. Their record in their last 16 games when favoured, they've only covered the line three times. I mean, you could have so many arguments about why you'd want to be against the Raiders, but I don't trust the Dragons. I'm tipping the Raiders to just get away with a win. I do think the Dragons are a huge chance of an upset.
I love the plus 11.5 on the Dragons as well. Yeah, Ben Hunt out, but Adam Clune is very solid. Be interesting to see what happens with Jack Bird and Zach Lomax. That might be a little interchange. Cody Ramsey's the option to play back in that fullback position as well. Even you could drop Corey Norman back there. So I'd be interested to see what Anthony Griffin does there. But yeah, I thought they were really disappointing, the Raiders, on the weekend. If it was not for, tell you what, Rapiner is carrying that side. I mean, that's,
yeah.
Seems he's been so good for them.
He and the number nine.
Yeah. Oh, you know, there's so much a reliance on what those two do. But yeah, so I love the plus 11.5.
Well, and Jimmy, just on the Dragons, I mean, Jack Bird, you know, has been involved and had a very good season to date, and thankfully he stayed fit. But he looks like he, you know, had a lot of time off in a paddock next to me leading into this season. There is no way he will be playing fullback and running all of those metres this week. So I'm sure he either plays somewhere in the centres or somewhere in the back row, and there's a swap around with that lineup.
Yeah, it might be time at fullback, but not extended. Second game on a Friday night. This is interesting. Eels up against the Rabbitohs. Mitch Moses has been named. Poor old Jake Arthur has been left out of the side. Oregon Kaufusi comes into the starting side. Regan Campbell-Gillard out with a groin injury. Murata Neokura and Bryce Cartwright onto the bench. Ray Stone drops out there for the Rabbitohs. Well, Cam Murray's back, so there you go. Jaden Sewell dropping out to the bench. Benji Marshall to Tevita Totola back into the side. That means Blake Taff, Davey Moali, and I tell you what, Patrick Mago's unlucky to miss out. I thought he's been really good. Campbell Graham, Liam Knight, HIA, so they look like they'll miss out on this week as well. They're flying the Rabbitohs. They're timing everything with Wayne. What's the market on this one?
Yeah, this has got a little bit of the Rabbits run is a little bit like what it was last year, where they hit their peak right at the right moment. They were probably a little bit further back last year than what they are now. They're sitting in a very nice spot in third, and the money is coming their way. It's $3.20 Parramatta, $1.36 Souths, and the line's 8.5. All the support for the Rabbitohs, it's moved from 7.5 out to 8.5. 180 the minus, $2 the plus, 51.5 the over under, with a little bit of support towards the over. The Eels just look lost and without answers. Will Mitch, that was against the Roosters last week, will Mitch Moses be able to reinvigorate the attack? I guess we'll find out, but it seems like it's a massive step up in class again to take on that red hot South Sydney side. So all the money is at the moment on the Bunnies to put a few points on the Eels.
Really good test here for the Eels and what they're made of right now and into these weeks ahead. I mean, clearly Moses is a really significant in, but they were just very poor last week against the Roosters. And we're talking about a Roosters lineup that is not a patch on what they were last year. Week before, come off a loss against the Raiders, and we've already touched on how thin the Raiders' form is. Moses in, that's significant, and he needs to give them some direction. He'll bring a quality kicking game to them. He also can play direct, which they'll need. But they're going to have to play some footy here because the Rabbits have got points in them week after week. And so this game needs points and attack and some real ball movement from the Eels. But their record against the Rabbitohs is very poor. Lost 5 of their last 6. And the last 3, they've had 38 points put through them by the Rabbitohs. One of those 38 nil, where they were absolutely dusted up when in the top 4 at home at Bankwest. So, you know, yes, it's 4th versus 3rd, but is the gap between the two of them somewhere around a 10-point where the line has it at the moment? I think it probably is. I do think the Rabbits win. I think the game does have points in it because I think the Eels have to play points. My big watch is the Achilles heels for the Eels when they've been against these top-of-table teams has been down both edges and badly exposed. And one, their right edge is back with Blake and Ferguson. It's not worked in the past. The Rabbitohs will have a picnic down that edge. I think they win. I think they probably cover, but I think the game has got points.
They would be giggling at training, the Rabbitohs. So anytime try scorer Cody Walker, anytime try scorer Dane Gagai, anytime try scorer Josh Mansour, anytime try scorer Latrell Mitchell. Blake Ferguson must be thinking, oh my God, here we go again. It'd be interesting, really interesting to see who Brad Arthur pairs him with, because he's moved Opacek to the right because he and Wong and Blake weren't working Ferguson, and Blake was back to the left-hand side. He's still got to pass his HIA, but who he puts there is really fascinating, I think. Papali'i's running out of steam. He's had a phenomenal season, but he's starting to run out of steam, much like his Parramatta teammates. I don't see the footy in them that you want them to play, Jared. I think the minus 8.5 is a gift for the Rabbitohs. I really do. That Latrell Mitchell will be... they'll be giggling. Latrell Mitchell and Cody Walker at training and say, oh, then we'll get him to do this. Then we'll get him to turn in. Then we'll get him to turn out. Oh, dear.
Well, the interesting watch on the sideline, Jimmy, will be my good friend Alex Johnston. He'll be sitting there with a box of tissues because he's not out there. I mean, he absolutely ripped him a new one, as we know, late last year. And, yeah, 100% right. But I do think that the Eels have got to play some football here. I can't see them winning, but I do think that they've probably got 3 tries in this, the challenge. And if so, then I do think we end up with some points.
Warriors v Sharks at Suncorp Stadium. Chanel Harris-DeVita is back in the 5-8 position. Petr Hicko goes out to the centre position. That suits him better. Adam Pompey out of the side. Adam Fanua Blake, Matt Lodge are back into the side. Tanua Brown drops to the bench. Ben Murdoch-Masilla is out with a foot injury. Josh Curran back into the side. Eli Katoa to the bench. Jaz Tavanga into the side. Taniela Otokolo is out with injury for the Sharkies. Jesse Ramian, he is a big in for them. Talakai to the second row. Williams to lock, Rudolph to prop, Tolman to the bench, Luke Metcalf is out, and there's a big question mark around Matty Moylan. What say the market, Tristan?
The market has got the Sharkies very short. They're $1.37. The Warriors are $3.15. The line's 9.5. It's short of the minus. 185 the minus Cronulla, 195 the Warriors. Total points 54.5. I just can't work out this Warriors side. Like when they were down 10-0 early against the Tigers, and obviously we spoke last week where we worried that maybe their minds were elsewhere this year. For them to be able to come back and record that victory, I know the Tigers have got their fair share of problems, but it was still an incredible effort. And, you know, they have got a significantly stronger side on paper this week. So the Sharkies, it's hard to match where they sit after their effort against the Seagulls. Obviously, Turbo just turned on a turbo game. They were in that game at halftime, and then in the space of 10-15 minutes, they got blown away. Sharks deserve to be favourites. The line seems about right to me, but the Warriors continue to impress under adversity. But we'll see what the Sharks can do here.
The Warriors are the Warriors. We all know that, and you know they're damn hard to trust. But I can't get the line as wide as this. I think 10 points between these two sides is just wrong. The Warriors get 5 key ins this week, and they're significant ins, and it does change what they look like and how I think they play, in particular in the halves with Harris Trevita. They also get Fanua Blake. They also get Murchie, Lodge and Curran into their forwards. Now, if we go back 3 weeks ago against the Panthers, before they were beset by 4 key injuries going into halftime, they really looked to try and play the football with an outside in and a real ball shift approach. And I think that that's what they'll bring to this game and want to move the Sharks around. And they've got some muscle back in the middle that will also play through the middle on their early plays. Very, very difficult to trust. Both teams leak a lot of points. You know, the Warriors are averaging anywhere between 26 and 28 a week, but the Sharks themselves are anywhere between 28 and 30 a week as well. Sharks have lost 3 of their last 5. It wasn't difficult to put for the Eagles to put points through them last week, but they're also still in that battle of trying to get into 7th or 8th in the semi-finals. I think the Sharks probably end up winning, but I just can't get the margin that wide. And I do think that we're going to see a game that's, you know, 3 o'clock in daylight and plenty of points.
Yeah, it's got over 54.5 written all over it, hasn't it? This game, which is the total points. I'm just looking at the bench for the Sharks here. Hanlon, Ueli, Hunt, Tolman, Fifita. That gives me the sense that Moylan's going to play. I thought Fifita really struggled. Look completely out of sorts, and you know, just for no other reason than the knee's just not holding up for him. We are not trusting the Warriors for anything, right, boys? But I do like them at the plus 9.5. I actually agree with Jared. I think the significant ins are there, and I like them at the plus 9.5. By the way, in a very short space of time, CSC for Talakai has become the number one player in the National Rugby League to not run at, because he absolutely poleaxed a couple of blokes in that. Poor old Brad Parker thought, oh, good, I'll run around this bloke. Not so much, Brad. He's such a strong defender. Back into the second row now, and you know, obviously that's his better position. I'm a fan of Williams at lock. I think Sharkies win it, but I don't mind the plus 9.5. Roosters Panthers, the 2003 grand finalists are going to go head to head at Suncorp on Saturday. Dale Copley comes straight back into the side for his second stint at the Roosters. Joey Manu, he was just spectacular last week against Parramatta, and maybe better served being on the wing than in the centres. We'll get to that shortly, but he's been named in the centres. I thought Kieran did a good job there. JWH is playing, so that's big news for the Roosters. For the Panthers, Coruscant and Yo back into the side. Momorowski's in for Steve Crichton, who's taken that suspension. Kurt Capewell moves to the centres. Brenton Aiden to the wing. Robert Jennings out of the side. And we've got the player moving to the bench to Tevita Pangai Jr. He used to play for the Broncos, from what I understand, and is going to the Bulldogs next year. So that'll be very interesting. And the big one, of course, Tristan. So good luck framing a market on this. Nathan Cleary, named in jersey 21.
Yeah, this has been a very interesting game to price. At the moment, we've got the Roosters $3.15, the Panthers $1.37, the Lions 9.5, and it's 185 the minus, 195 the plus. Obviously, either way, whatever happens with Nathan Cleary, this market's going to shift significantly. I'm battling to see the gap between the two sides, regardless of if Cleary plays or he doesn't. The Panthers have got some players back into their side, but the Roosters have been very good the last few weeks. They've been building, in my opinion, this whole season to make a charge at the finals. And obviously they've had so many injuries and such an unfortunate year. But the Panthers, they're not setting the world on fire, as we've seen. Yeah, they've got some key players in, but I don't think you can expect them to flick the switch and automatically start playing the football they were playing a couple of months ago. They're obviously now working towards the finals themselves. So is it a game where they risk Cleary? Who knows? But it's, to me, the $1.37, 9.5 seems a little bit short. I wouldn't mind something on the plus 9.5 here. And if for some reason Cleary doesn't play, the market might move significantly the Roosters' way.
I agree totally, Tristan. The key here is whether Cleary plays. Now, I'm working on the fact that he doesn't. They get a couple of positives with Yo and Coruscant back, but he is just such a significant in and, you know, one of the key game turners. And we can see over recent weeks with him out how much Penrith fall back to the field. Now, add to that Fisher Harris, To'o and Crichton, there's four key outs. I think the market's just way too wide here. The Roosters' record against top four sides has been very poor. Prior to last week when they dusted up the Eels, and it was the Eels without Moses, they'd lost 11 of their last 12, 11 straight before last week. But I do give them a big chance here because I just think that Cleary is such a significant out. The other thing is this game's not at Penrith Park where their record is outstanding. When they're away like this and favoured, their record is only 7 of the last 20 that they've covered the line. 9.5, I think, is way too big. I'm tipping the Roosters to upset, and I do think that plus 9.5, if I'm tipping them to win, is a nice leg up into the game.
Okay, might be hinting at something there. It's not round 15, is it? Bluebet Stadium, where 38 points to 12. That was the really controversial one when they scored 12 points, maybe even 18 points when CSC Waitakiaho was off the field. So, very different proposition. I can't believe how, you know, we talk about Luke Keary not being there to help mentor Sam Walker. How important is Victor Radley for Sam Walker's game? Victor's just incredible. The amount of times he gets his hands on the footy, the quick hands that he uses too. He plays differently to Isaiah Yeo. And this is what, there's so many differences between the 13s that are in the game now. You know, Nelson Asifa-Solomona plays 13 for the Storm. He's a completely different player to Victor Radley, who's a different player to Isaiah Yeo. I think the other really interesting one too is Tevita Pangai Jr. Just how he comes into the side, how he plays. we won't know it. We won't see from this game, but just how he fits within that squad, I think it's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. Yeah, I'm with you two guys on that one too, with the plus 9.5 for the Roosters.
The other big thing there in the last 24 hours, Jimmy, is that with Wirra Hargraves getting cleared last night at judiciary, I mean, that again is just a huge plus for the Roosters. I was surprised that the market didn't tighten them up a little further. Now, clearly they'd factored in that they expected that he would win that appeal and get off. But with him playing, I mean, his leadership has just been outstanding through the last 8 to 10 weeks. He's had one of his best ever seasons. That makes a key difference. I mean, with him in the team and I can get 9.5, I just thought that takes you a long way into the game. With Cleary, I expect not to be playing.
Yeah, I will say Jared Warrior Hargreaves, his leadership over the last decade, he's just a really misunderstood guy, that bloke. He's quite incredible. Robinson will not trade him for anyone. Next game is Tom Trbojevic versus the Melbourne Storm. And apparently there's 16 other players running out there with him, which is interesting. Dez deciding to name 16 other players. Josh Alawai comes in. Curtis Sirenin is out. Taniela Paseka and Tafafoa Sipley. Probably changed to Taniela. Looks like he's going to start in this one. Certainly named to start. Felice Kaufusi out with that suspension. So Chris Lewis into the starting side. They've still got Pappenhausen and Grant on the bench. You could argue two of the top 10 players in the league sitting on the bench. So Hines and Smith, their preferred candidates at fullback and 9. Kenny Bromwich, a question mark around him for the HIA. I mentioned Nelson Asifa-Solomona. So he's out. Tui Kamikamita out. Aaron Penne out. So significant outs there to middle forwards for the Melbourne Storm. Niggling injuries for them. But I'd still, despite the heroics of Tommy T, imagine they start pretty short, Tristan.
It's got the Storm very short. It's an exciting game. I can't wait for this one. It's going to really give us an indication of where Manly's sitting at. They step up in class quite significantly. It's $3.75 Manly, $1.28 Melbourne. The line is 12.5. There has been a bit of support for the plus. 12.5 at 185, the plus. 195, the minus. 50.5, the total points. 195, the overs. And 185, the unders as well. So the Storm are short, but I think there's going to be a little bit of a push towards Manly just with people getting on the turbo hype train. It just depends how we saw what Manly did to Penrith, albeit an understrength side, but Melbourne have just been so clinical and so good throughout the whole virtually the whole season. They've been just a class above everyone else. So it'll be interesting to see if Manly, and in particular Turbo, can get to that next level. I wonder if Manly's up by 12 points with 10 minutes to go, if Dez decides to rest Turbo at that point, they might get done by 12. We'll see what happens.
Oh yeah, there's so many different angles and arguments to this game. You know, it's very intriguing, and we've got, you know, two teams in the top six matching off against each other. I think the market has completely overvalued the Storm into this in the pricing and the line. And I understand why the Storm come off winning 16 straight. But let's just go back through some of that form. You know, Penrith, all their players out. Cowboys, well, you know, anybody knocks the Cowboys over at the moment. That's not great form. Newcastle, a week before, we've had many key outs, dusted up the Roosters with many outs. I mean, beating the Tigers is like kissing your sister. So, yes, they've won their last five, but they're all bottom table teams outside of the Roosters with all of those key players out. Similar story for the Eagles, though. Their last 8 games have been against teams outside of the top six. But how they go about their football and what they can bring in attack brings them right into this contest. I think that the Eagles can storm home through the coming weeks and finish in fourth spot and so in the top four. I then think that they're one of the key challenges then to the Storm as we run towards the grand final. That sets up a great contest here and a great matchup. I just can't get the 12.5. I'm somewhere between 6 and 8 between them. I think the market's just got this overvalued. I think the big thing that the Eagles bring this game on the back of Tom, but also those two guys playing at 7 and 6, is their attack. They will bring points and play and test the Storm. The Storm will also bring something to the party as well. And so I do think that there's points in the game. I lean to the Storm to probably get away with a win, but gee, I think 12.5 is just way too generous. And for mine, just takes you a long way into the game. The Storm to win, but plus 12.5 for me, thank you.
Yeah, for very personal reasons, would love Manly to make the top four. So I'm not test riding them from that point of view. Talking about that Storm Cowboys game, yeah, that was painful, wasn't it? Didn't quite get it right on that occasion. I tend to think the other way, you know. I don't know why I'm doing this. I might be taking on Tom Trbojevic. It's amazing how impactful one player can be. And that with a guy who's the Australian halfback in the side as well. So that just goes to show. I'm going the other way, actually. And if you're prepared to offer 6 or 8 points, Jared, I'd really love to jump all over that, despite what the market's saying at 12 and a half. But I think the Storm get their groove and continue the not only the winning ways, but I think this is a statement game for the Melbourne Storm. Grant and Pappenhausen, they're ready to go. Munster has been quiet compared to his teammate Hughes. I see this as a game where they can explode, and I'm happy to take them on at the minus.
Do you think Mr. Bellamy has had the boys watching any tapes of Turbo over the last couple of weeks as well? I think they might have a little game plan whether they can implement it. But on that note, with Jimmy just putting the feelers out there to Jared, I might just see if I might be able to negotiate a deal here between the two of you. Is there any interest in a lunch bet between you two boys?
Oh, mate, breakfast, lunch, dinner, a couple of days in a row at plus 12 and a half for me. Count me in.
I thought you said 6 to 8.
That's where I think the market is. If you want to bet in the market, it's 12 and a half.
Oh, okay. Well, that changes things, doesn't it? Yeah, why not? Why not?
Okay.
I was going to say you only live once, but actually you only die once. You live multiple times. So, although I may be very hard to contact if this one doesn't get up. mate, absolutely. Let's go. You've facilitated it, Tristan.
Very good. Well, I'm going to take as much pleasure sitting on the sidelines watching this one play out. I think the line's about right. I actually agree with both of the points. I think it's going to be a cracking game, and I look forward to the extra little bit of banter between you two over the weekend. And it's a 12 and a half deal, signed, sealed, delivered.
Well, you make a very good point about reducing the impact of Tom Trbojevic. No one does it better than Bellamy. Have a look at Taumalolo's run meters against the Melbourne Storm compared to every other side. So he works out something very deliberate for that. In saying that, I'm not sure how he does it with Tommy T, but that's what makes Craig Bellamy the highest paid sporting coach in this country, or he certainly will be when his new deal kicks in for the Melbourne Storm. Let's go to Sunday. We've got Bulldogs up against the Tigers. Bailey Biondi Odo comes into the halves. Kyle Flanagan, he's been pushed out of the side again. Falakiko Manu and Jaden Ockenbaugh had a bad night with his hands. Nick Meaney and Corey Allen should have swapped after 2.5 minutes of the game on the weekend. Siu Manapanai and Napa are there. Katoa onto the bench for the Tigers. Moses Emboy, no surprise, he's been named at fullback in the absence of Dane Laurie. Michael Cheekam into the centres. There you go, no more passes for Kenny Mamalo. Tamo and Makaeli are back. Twall and Offa Hengawe back to the bench. And Sini and Tuolungi onto the bench as well. Tuki Simpkins misses out. How do you see it, Tristan?
It's a tricky one to price. I've been quite bullish of the Bulldogs the last few weeks, but I was pretty disappointed in the effort against the Titans. I thought they had the opportunity there to be really competitive, and they obviously weren't. And then we know what the Tigers are doing, so I'm finding it's a really tricky game to assess. At the moment, it's $2.65 the Dogs, $1.50 the Tigers, and the line's 6.5. Money both ways at the moment. That quote, 52.5, the total points. One of the boys in our office is a massive Doggies fan, and you can hear him bark when he comes up the corridor, and he's very, very, very excited about Bailey Biondi Odo making his debut. He's got massive wraps on him, so that's what I think. There's a bit of excitement. I think it's right for the Doggies to pull the trigger on someone here and try to build towards next season, where obviously we know they're bringing a number of players into that side. The Tigers will be so disappointed with their loss last week. They're still within touching, or they were very much within touching distance of the 8, and it was such a huge loss to them. It just depends how they back up after that disappointment. Obviously, Dane Laurie's been so key at the back for them this year, and he's gone. But Moses Emboy, pretty suitable replacement. Adam Dewey, we know how good he's been. So it'll be interesting. I think the first 10-15 minutes might tell the story here, but 6.5 at the moment is the line.
Oh, it's an absolutely ugly game, isn't it? I mean, the Bulldogs have just got periods of just horrible playing, and most of it was last week. The Titans are not that good to put 34 points through them. you know, they had periods a week before where they were just disgraceful in defence against the Sharks. They really miss Luke Thompson as an out at the moment. But the Tigers, dear oh dear, that was just a disgraceful loss last week. You know, the Warriors had up to 10 players out. They led by 10 and got run down. I thought they showed absolutely nothing in terms of courage or gumption or attitude in that second 40. And we've got a line here between the worst team at the bottom of the table of only 6.5 against the Tigers. I mean, that's just an embarrassment for the Tigers. For mine, I mean, on paper, it should be another 10. There's one of the three of us in this conversation absolutely lapping up how the Tigers have gone this year, because he'll order a new Mercedes when the season finishes after all of those minor premiership bets at the handicap. I think the Tigers maybe win. I probably won't watch the game.
They cover -6.5. They'll win this game. They've got the Bulldogs again. They've still got the +19 points in the minor premiership market. Anyway, Tigers to win that one. Let's quickly get to the Titans and the Cowboys. This one, some big news here for Cowboys fans that Val Holmes comes back into the side. That means that Jake Granville goes back to the bench. Murray Tuilagi back to the wing because Kane Bradley's out. All the bench has been promoted. Tom Gilbert, Hylam Lukey, Cohen Hess into the starting side. Molo, Dunn and Wright go back to the reserves. On the back of that good win for the Titans, Paddy Herbert is back. SR Masters pushed out. Tyrone Peachy is out. Aaron Clark in. Dave Fifita named in the start side. I think it works when he comes from the bench, Tristan.
Yeah, it has. And you know, the proof's been in the pudding the last few weeks. So it's $1.29 the Titans, $3.70 the Cowboys, 11.5 short of the minus. 185 the Titans, 195 the Cowboys, 54.5. Now, start of the year, the Titans had big raps. They were going to make the eight. They were going to make a big charge at this. And they were disappointing for a long way into the season. And they've started to find their groove. They've found their way into the top eight. This is the game as a, obviously I'm a Panthers fan, but the Titans are my second side. This is the game that you sort of close your eyes and you hold your breath, because they've been known to not turn over these games when they're expected to win, when the pressure starts to mount. So on paper, they should win this. They should win this convincingly. But the Titans I just have that query in the back of my mind. I just hope with Toby Sexton there at halfback, he looks like he's really starting to be a very influential player, only in his third game this week. But yeah, it's a key game for their finals aspirations. They need to win this and win it convincingly with some tough games still to come.
Yeah, the Cowboys away from North Queensland are just horrible. They leaked 36 points. As an average, last week it was 37. I mean, they just do not defend well away from home. Their record's horrible. Val Holmes is a big plus. The Titans have, over the last couple of weeks, had a couple of low-table teams, very weak in Dragons, and then the Bulldogs last week, where their focus has just been about knuckling down, getting the job done and winning. I think they get the same opportunity here to do again. With the Titans to win, I think they'll probably cover the line. Happy to just watch the game.
Yeah. Sam Lasone, what about the ball playing? A big semi last week. Quite exceptional. Yeah, I think the Titans win it pretty comfortably. Righto, Jared, you better get into your game tips and your best for Pass It On Clothing.
The Knights, the Raiders, the Rabbits, the Sharks, the Roosters, yeah, just upset the Storm, just the Tigers and the Titans. The best of the round, let's go the Eagles +12.5. We'll have a bet on that for Pass It On Clothing, and I'll have three nights at Rickshaws with Jimmy on that one. And the anytime try scorer, let's go Adam Dewey for the Tigers, 265 against the Bulldogs on the right edge. I'm sure he looks like a big chance of scoring there. I thought that price looked great value.
Thank you, gentlemen. 12.5. I'll have a new telephone number if that actually salutes the Eagles +12.5. But just check out that left side for the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Anytime try scorer there against the poor old right side defence.
Maybe a little same game multi.
Yes, absolutely. Best of the best multis too, by the way, at topsport.com.au. Thank you, gentlemen, as per usual. Outstanding, and enjoy your weekend of footy.
Thanks, guys. Speak to you soon.
Take care, gentlemen.
Reading the Play is Australia's favourite source of NRL and horse racing tips. Our professional analysts provide the sporting enthusiast with the best of the best. Get the best professional tips and previews from our tipsters direct to your phone. Readingtheplay.com.